Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation Panel call on 12th of September 2019. In the call, we have Bill, Marjana, Michael, Hassem, Matt, Mako, and Pitina. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, I want to hear from you. What is your opinion? How should we proceed with our staff? Please, Bill, go on. Maybe you have some good ideas. Thank you, Bill.
Well, I'm not sure about good, but it's an idea. We could move on to discussing the stacking of combining diacritics, which would be a new topic, and so we wouldn't need to worry about picking up where we had left off specifically last time, and by the time we've dealt with that, Dennis may have arrived.
Oh, Dennis has arrived. Dennis just arrived. Yeah, those are my thoughts too, but Dennis is here, and I will ask him to proceed with the discussion where we stopped last time. Please, Dennis, go on. You are muted, Dennis.
All right. Hello, everyone. Okay, so let me open the document and we can share that. Hold on a second. All right, and let's see, where is Zoom here? Am I still online? Can you hear me?
Yes,
okay.
We hear. Yeah.
All right, yeah. I couldn't find my Zoom window. All right, I'm gonna down. All right, so I'm sharing the document. Some of you already in there. So let's just go right where we left last week. Okay. So we were trying to resolve and find a solution as to the disposition value of the variant relationship of the sequence SS to sharp S. And there were arguments on both sides, but no really resolution as to which one should be picked. So some of the arguments as to make it allocatable is that so that it's there is some equal opportunity regardless of who applies first to the to a label or to a TLD, and that's one because if you make it blog, then the order of how you apply for the TLD is not so straightforward. On the other hand, this variant relationship in this direction is not so intuitive. I mean, nobody expects. I mean, the convention of sharp S to SS is well understood, but it does not work both ways. So I see Matt's hand up. Matt, please go ahead.
Yes, so I agree that the natural way is from sharp S to double S. But if we look at the point of view of complexity, if there is a variant relationship from sharp S to double S, we don't increase the complexity by just allowing the other way around. And it will be easier to understand the relationship between the two if both ways are allowed. So from a simplicity point of view, I suggest that if one way is allocatable, the other way should also be allocatable.
This is Sarmad. I'd like to get in the queue as well, please.
Thank you, Sarmad. Noted. I have Bill and then Sarmad.
Yeah, this is Bill. I agree with Matt. I would also point out that while there are lots of cases where an SS can, in the German orthography, be replaced with a sharp S, there is, even if it's allocatable, there's nothing that would require anybody to bother doing that if it's one. So I don't find the language doesn't work that way argument compelling. There's nothing forcing anybody to activate that allocatable relationship if they don't feel it's appropriate. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Sarmad?
So I just want to share a very similar case we had in Arabic. And Hazem and Mikal are here, who are probably may recall that as well. In Arabic, we had a case where we had Alif, which is like Alpha in English. And we also had two related or multiple related characters, Alif with certain diacritics, like Alif with Hamza above, Alif with Hamza below, Alif with Madda above, and so on. And we had actually similar cases where in one direction, it is expected that there is a variant relationship. So, for example, in the decorated form, for example, Alif and Hamza above can be simplified to a simple Alif, so that diacritic can be dropped. But going in the other direction, it is not predictable, for example, that whether if it's an Alif, whether it should go into an Alif Hamza above or Hamza below or Madda above. So we actually had a similar discussion on whether it should be allocatable on both sides, or it should actually be allocatable in one side and blocked going in the other direction. One of the factors which we did consider, which I've not heard in the discussion, at least today, you may have discussed it last time, is the matter of, conservatism and creating, there is a very clear rule in LGR procedure, which says that blocked variants must be maximized and allocatable variants must be minimized. So that's a actual design principle, which is in a way hard coded in the LGR procedure. So I guess the question would be, and this could be something which an IP member could ask as well, is that if you make it allocatable in both directions, what is the real requirement? For example, they could ask, or I guess I would also ask, of making double S an allocatable a variant of sharp S. Going in the other direction, obviously, it is in a way licensed through for the various reasons we've actually been discussing, in the context of German and in the context of IDNA 2003, but making every time a double S occurs, even in English and many other languages, making that an allocatable variant of sharp S, question would be, what is the requirement? And if it's not a requirement, it's something which is, it's not a must, but a may or, a preference. Question is that, does that meet the design principle of minimizing the allocatable variance? Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmad. That's a good segue to the point I was going to raise in terms of the LGR procedure, right? The maximization of minimize allocatable variance and maximize block ones. So that's something that we need to put on the table and have a good argument, because that's very likely that the IP will ask if we do not offer any good rationale as to that case. I have Michael on the queue. Michael, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to add to what Sarmat said. I mentioned that case a couple of times, but there's a further aspect which maybe I overheard when Sarmat mentioned it. That is, there is like an orthographical rule, and there was in the case of Arabic, where something is considered orthographically standard and something is considered like a replacement of the standard. And we also had a discussion, because if there are, for example, labels already registered which use the non-standard form, so for example, in our case, representing sharp S by a sequence of 2S, because they believe it's not eligible or not available for use in that label, we kind of block such cases from getting the so to speak, orthographically correct variant at a later stage. And I remember us having a discussion about that also in the Arabic script generation panel. But I think that in the case of German, there is not a huge number of cases where this would apply. So we don't have a significant amount of labels already registered, which may use a sequence of 2S instead of sharp S, because the letters are just not that frequent in the language as, for example, the parallel case in Arabic. Thank you.
So we don't have to worry about existing, or maybe we do. For example, if the rule we pass is allocatable, that, for example, will generate a variant of the CCTLD SS, right? And the allocatable TLD would be a sharp S, a single code point. And that's just one example, right? I'm sure we can find in the hundreds of TLDs a double S sequence in one of those, and that will generate the variant. And so what do we do with those, right? Oh, well, we don't do anything with those. It's basically ICANN organization that will have to manage those, but based on what, all right? And that's why the LGR procedure anticipated to minimize allocatable variance to the extent possible and then maximize block variance. I have Bill on the queue.
Yeah, I have a question. Of the TLDs that are already established, do we have any that were established using a double S that would be normally, if that's the word, written in German with a sharp S? I'm just wondering if there's already a case that we'd want to look at. If there is not, I would say that while I think it's the wrong way to go, if there's an established design requirement that says minimize, then I guess we go with blocked. Thank you.
Hassan, okay, we'll come back when you're ready to speak. So PTNN is listing some of the existing TLDs. Hassan, is that you?
Yes. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, yes, Hassan, please go ahead.
Yes. Okay. I think if we decided that it will be that SS will be a variant and allocatable in case of sharp S being registered, but for the same register, be to avoid confusion. From the other side, I think if a double S has been registered, the sharp S should be blocked, because if it is allocatable, if it's used in a browser with IDNA 2003, it will send you to the old one, to the one which is already registered. So I think it's better, safer to be blocked in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Hassan.
This is Sarmad. May I come in quickly?
Yes, Sarmad, please go ahead.
So we actually had an example like that in Arabic as well, where the actual spelling required a decorated version, but the registered version was actually not the decorated version. And I guess all the members were cognizant that if we put in this rule, then the simplified version will never be able to get an allocatable version of the decorated version. I guess, I think the example was either Abu Zabi or Etislat or something. but in any case, even with that information, I think the Arabic generation panel still went for the conservative approach. I guess along the design suggestion of the LGR procedure, just I guess for record, I think those things, as Maya Mikal was also suggesting, were discussed, and even with those examples delegation, they were still at that time, the design consideration by the Arabic generation panel was not changed. Thank you.
Michael or Dennis, if you're speaking, you're on mute.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so I was on mute. So I was just going to just recap, right? According to, if we go for the conservative principle, then we would have to make SS to sharp S block variant. And I just, before going to the queue, I'm just trying to note the chat activity. Michael, even if there existed one, some, couldn't we have some grandfathering process for those? I'm not sure what would you grandfather. I mean, the existing TLDs are delegated and they're not sure what grandfathering you mean. And then Michael, if you want to add clarification to your comment, that would be good or useful to understand the context of grandfathering. Go ahead.
Okay, so what I meant was, if there exists a label which is written with double S, and that's actually a German word, and this that should have been written with SZ, then maybe we could allow in that case that registry to also register the SZ case, even though normally that direction would have been blocked, just because at the point that label was registered, they maybe didn't think that registration with SZ would be possible, or they thought that they could add the variant later on.
Right. But they, I mean, so you're saying there is an existing TLD that Sharp S would be applicable?
And I didn't check. I just said that if there were such a TLD, we could have a grandfathering process.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how would that apply with, you know, the policy making process. And all, I mean, just outside the generation panel work, all points to Roots on LGR being the authoritative source to validate TLDs and calculate their variance. And policy should not make any, you know, exceptions as to that, unless the Roots on LGR itself is modified such that it validates the TLDs and their variance. So, I mean, we can certainly suggest that, but it's to do that, it has a very high bar. So I'm gonna go to the queue and then go back to the chat. So I have Michael and then Bill.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to say what I wrote in the chat, that I checked the link posted by Sarmat for strings which contain SS, and I could find only one example, which is probably .SS, and I don't see any relationship with German language in particular. And secondly, I wanted to stress again the point that all of these arguments we are putting forward right now, I think we should put them in those boxes we are seeing on the screen. So I would like to recap what we just discussed, because these are complex pros and cons. And if we don't document them properly, we'll forget about it. And also, there may be questions which arise at a later stage again, either among us or from other people who review our proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, I'm taking notes of that, and we'll come back to the table in a minute to record the observations and thoughts on each option. Bill, please go ahead.
Yeah, it's sounding like we may not need it, but if we do discover a case, I have an idea on the process we use to deal with it, which would be to simply create a new TLD that does use the Sharp S in that case, not activate it, but have it created so it's available for activation, and do that before we implement all of the various variant relationships that we're finding. So it would be an exception, but it would be there already, and so there, it would be as if something had gotten created in the previous TLDs that turned out to be use a character that wasn't in the repertoire at all. It would be the same sort of exception, but that seems like a fairly straightforward way to implement it if we indeed find that we have a case where it's necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So going to the chat room, so okay, we talk about the exception. Mats, there are around 15 TLDs in the new UTLD with the string SS. None of the 15 I found is a German word. Okay. All right, so noted. So let's go back to what I want to do is to register the pros and cons of each of the solutions so that we have the means to resolve this item. Yep, somebody wanted to speak? No? Okay. So let me start with SS to SET. So we look at here, we already had a one pro non-linguistic expectation on the side of the user. I think that's already established. we talk about this is the most conservative option according to the LGR procedure vis-a-vis minimizing allocatable variance and maximizing block ones. On the negative side, it denies the opportunity to apply the variant TLD if SSH is registered first. That's going to be the option for the, you know, the registry operator, the TLD applicant, to decide which one they want to go first, right? Because they will always have an option to register SharpS first and then SS if that's what they want to do. If they do it the other way, yes, they register the one using SS, but the other one will be blocked. So if they are thinking of applying for both, they will have to start with SharpS and, you know, keep the other one reserve, or, you know, apply for both and whatever the process is going to be for the next round, whether they are bundled together in one application or independent applications, each one with their own costs, that's outside of our, you know, scope. Going back to the chat, Sarman notes, in other words, the operative procedure should aim to, okay, so he's referencing the part where the, well, we were talking about the being conservative as to the allocatable variance. Thank you, Sarmat. Any other pros, cons on this side of the table? I quickly saw Matt's hand in and out. Matt, you still want to speak or you pass?
Well, that was on the other side. So.
You want, no, well, if I don't hear anything on this side, so let's go to the other side, the left, SS to SET. Just go ahead.
Yeah, the pro of allowing both ways is that it's simpler because the users don't need to know that it's not symmetrical, and also that you can start with the double S and then later on add the sharp S.
Thank you, Matt. I'm taking notes here. I saw another hand, but I think, okay. So let me just know. Let me finish taking notes here. Matt, keep me honest. And then if somebody wants to add anything, please just raise the hand.
So the second thing I said was that you can start with double S and then add sharp S. Other way around. Oh, that's a con. Okay.
No. I think this is what you wanted to express, right?
Right.
As a well, yeah, no. So this is a pro, right? So
right.
Let me.
And also, it should rather be asymmetrical relationship, I guess.
Right. That's the way.
Yes.
Capture. Okay. Thank you. I have Michael and then Mirjana.
Yeah, just a short comment to Matt's comment that in that case, the user he's referring to is not really the user we are talking about the rest of the time. It's not the average internet user, but only the entity that wants to apply for a TLD. So it's a rather small group of people that is concerned with this asymmetrical relationship. The normal user wouldn't need to know this.
Right, I think you're referring, right, the end user, if, for example, the Sharp S is not activated and they go to, I mean, let's assume that the TLE is using SS, he will never, the end user will never know that a Sharp S variant exists because none of the browsers will do a redirection to the Sharp S version of it. And make yeah. So yeah, go ahead. Suggest you can type stuff, Michael. As I am. It will show up in a different color though. But yeah. Mirjana, please go ahead.
We should keep in mind that we are trying to solve the problem when one or two browsers, although they are very, very often used, does not obey to the standard. And we are trying just to help end users not to be somehow misled. And I hope that in the future, all browsers will obey the IDN 2008 standard. And that's, I mean, all my discussion is against the solution that we allow double S to sharp S allocatable variant. Because we should keep in mind that probably in next X years, all browsers will obey the standard and we shall have something in our LGR procedure which is overdated that I don't know should it be any procedure to remove anything from LGR in the future. Thank you. That's all what I wanted to say.
Thank you, Mirjana. And I think you just said a very good point. And I recall talking about that, right? That we would discuss two type of solutions before reaching out a conclusion. It's one of what would be the solution for today's status quo, and what would be the solution in the case where all browsers are compliant, fully compliant with IDNA 2008. It's going to be very difficult for the Roots on LGR to go back and undo stuff due to stability issues. So incorporating rules that will remove stuff rather than increasing rules, that's going to be hard and very difficult. And the LGR procedure has a whole section about that. So we need to take that into account when we are thinking about this solution that we are going to propose here.
This is Sarma. I'd also like to get in the queue, please.
Yes, Sarma, I'll have you. So, Mirjana, is that a new hand? If it is, please. Okay, it's an all hand. So I have Matt, Bill, and then Sarma on the queue, please. Go ahead.
Yes, I think we should expect that if we have a variant relationship between double S and sharp S, that will stay for at least 20 years from now, if not more. We should not expect it to be able to be removed.
Yes, Matt, that's exactly, yep. Not sure about the 20 years, but yeah, long time, correct. Rules that are now included here are to be expected, or it's anticipated that they're going to stay, you know, remain on the Rurutunga GR for years to come. Again, the expectation is that there are going to be more scripts or perhaps code points added because of how Unicode evolves. But as far as removing stuff, it's going to have a very high bar because of the, you know, the ongoing evolution of the DNS and the availability of new top-level domain names and so on. So I have Bill and then Sarmat. Bill, please go ahead.
Yes, I want to, I'm afraid, disagree with Mariana. Yes, it would be good to have all of the browsers come into compliance with IDNA 2008, but as far as we can tell, at least a couple of the major browsers have no work in progress to actually do that. And you know, if they were going to get it done in the next year or two, we could ignore the problem because it was being fixed. But as it is, I think we have to deal with the world that we see. And that means assuming for the purposes of making our decision that the incompatibility issue is going to last for years to come as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. But I just want to clarify the incompatibility issue in this case, right? In this variant relationship, SS to Sharpest has no bearing. Browsers behave equally, and when you type about SS, right, there is no expectation from the user that that will be a redirection to the another label. It's different case as to when somebody types an asset and then you are redirected to a different domain name. Okay. So I see that an anonymous axolotl, it's very busy typing. We'll take a look at later. Or maybe, yep, he's done. Is that you, Michael, typing?
Yeah, didn't it give my name?
Okay. So let me do this, please. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Are you done?
And I think this
okay,
is a
so let me do this, yeah.
We discussed the last, at the end of our last teleconference call.
Yeah, let me do this because we have cons on one side and then and pros on the other one. So we'll look. All right, so please save me from reading that paragraph. Can you summarize it, Michael, please, for the benefit of all?
This was, yes, of course. This was one of the arguments we had discussed at the end of our last teleconference call. And we were discussing whether there is some kind of disadvantage of Austrian and Swiss users because they do not make such use of SharpS. And since they are the numerical minority, it may reinforce existing biases in the sense that if a German user comes first to registering a label with sharp S, and the same label would be registered by an Austrian or a Swiss user, not with sharp S, but with a sequence of two S, then the Austrian or Swiss user may be, may actually have a disadvantage because of that. and it reinforces existing numerical biases or numerical disadvantages. However, we also argued that the same kind of applies to any other user which would then try to register a label which accidentally may be the same as, for example, the blocked variant of a label registered by German users. So if, I don't know, if you want to register Strasse or something, and for some reason there is a user outside the German language community who wants to register the same string with a sequence of 2S, they may not do so if the other registration is already in place because it's a variant and cannot be allocatable to a different party. So this is kind of the summary. I hope this is what correctly.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. So, true false questions. The Austrian and the Swiss do not typically use sharp S.
False.
So they use sharp S?
Just the Swiss don't use the S set. The Austrians do the same as we Germans, so.
So I just help me understand why these users are, I mean, or any for that matter, are at disadvantage of this variant relationship being blocked. I mean, don't they understand, or they don't know how to? So not sure if I grasp the. That this variant relationship is blocked, then at some community are at disadvantage. What would be the whole case of it? Okay, well, let me go back to that question. So I have Michael on the queue and then Michael.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that question. I think it would be, it's actually the other way around, that German users might be at a disadvantage, because in Germany you would always register the SZ version and then the SS is still available, while if a Swiss registers the name first, they would automatically use the double S version, and then there wouldn't be the possibility to add the Germany Austrian spelling later on. But still, I don't think it's that important.
So what I'm hearing is that there's some disagreement as to this con. So from those, from two German-speaking members. So can we reconcile? Michael, please.
Yeah, I just want to explain based on what you asked and what Michael said. So the idea is simple. There are something like 80 million German speakers and something like, Wikipedia says, 5 million Swiss German speakers. So the German speakers in Germany have a much higher number in comparison to Swiss speakers. So there's a higher chance, because there are more potential users, to register labels. And they're competing potentially for the same labels. Now, if one of the parties comes first, obviously that blocks access to the other party. So this creates kind of, this reinforces a numerical disadvantage, because part of the user community makes use of the character, that is SZ, and part of the community does not make use of the character, that is the Swiss-German community. I think Michael can explain the situation regarding the differences between the German, the Austrian, and the Swiss communities better than I can. Yeah, so does that clarify the situation and what I meant by that?
So I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure it's relevant for our discussion. We know domain names also at the top level domain name is first come, first serve. And the TLD applying for the label, they potentially know what the target market for that extension is going to be, so they don't care much about the rest of the world, right? And that's true for every single TLD. So I'm not sure if, you know, a Swiss TLD applicant comes first and registers their variant or their, you know, the preferred strain, you know, the German that came second, I mean, they are out of luck, I mean, for that, you know, to put it that way. So not sure how, you know, competition in the marketplace, it's ought to be something that we have to, you know, put it here as a con to resolve a variant relationship. I'm not sure if that came out clear. So I have Mats and then Michael.
Yeah, the only thing I can see is that if you start as a Swiss-German company and then or register or something without Sharp S, and then you want to expand it to Germany and Austria and feel that you have to add the Sharp S. Then you are in bad luck because you cannot add it. In the other way, if you start in Germany with a Sharp S and then want to add double S, then it will be possible. So it will be depending on where you start. If you start with double S or if you start with Sharp S, then that will give a difference.
Right, but I mean, Michael, I know your hand, but I'm just quickly react to that. I mean, but are we talking about now business cases or preference as to, because if the rules on LGR is going to be available for TLD applicants. I mean, that's a good, very high confidence assumption that we can make, right? And in advance, they will know what the rules are going to be as far as what labels are going to be, you know, available for registration, which ones are not, and how the things work. So if I don't think we have to worry about those scenarios. If a business wants to apply for, you know, the SS and later on have plans to apply for Sharp S, they will go and do this way, right? They will apply for Sharp S and have the other one reserved, or apply for both at the same time and shelf one or the other as they please. So not sure if that's, you know, thinking about business cases is relevant here when we need to balance conservative principles and the like. And as I'm thinking, I think, Sarma, you were on the queue, and I'm sorry, I lost track of it. So I'll have Sarma first and then Michael.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to make two comments. I can't remember the second, but I still remember the first. There was some discussion around, you know, how this will play out in the future. I think Mariana raised that, and I guess I wanted to make if you think about it, even if the IDNA 2003 compatibility issue wasn't really there, there is still an independent case for this variant relationship to exist because of the German language. So I guess there's still motivation for this in the longer term. I guess that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. Meka?
Yes, I wanted to give further context to what I said and reply to some of the comments you just made. So whether or not we should discuss such linguistic biases and stuff, well, we did in the case of the Arabic script LGR, just to give a case in point. And I do think we need to consider, for example, linguistic realities in terms of numbers of speakers and how one group may be disadvantaged by another group. For example, we had similar discussions or similar problematics, similar problems when it came to exclusion of the pipe character, which is a perfectly valid letter in some languages, but in a minority language of the world, but maybe visually similar to what is not a letter in some Western languages. So we did have other such cases where we already ran into that problem that giving weight to one part of the world may put another part of the world at disadvantage, to put it in simple terms. And secondly, I do think this makes an effect such variant rules. For example, if we look at British English, they use AE, ligature AE in the spelling of some words, which American English does not use. Now, if, just to give you a hypothetical scenario to make you understand the issue better, if, for example, we would make the AE variant, the AE ligature variant with the whatever is used in American English usually, I think it depends on the context, this would put British English users at a disadvantage in comparison to American English users if we only compare the two communities of the United States and United Kingdom. It's difficult to factor in other language communities because for the simple reason that if there's a variant relationship between two code points and the two code points are used in different ways by two communities, and one community is significantly larger than the other, then obviously chances are that the significantly larger community will be able to pre-register a label and therefore blocking access to the smaller community. And we had similar cases under discussion or under consideration for the Arabic script LGR. I hope that's somehow clear. Thank you.
So, Michael, is your argument going to making these two components unrelated? Therefore, there is no competition as to who gets it first? Would that be the logical conclusion?
No, I'm not trying to argue against the case that this relationship should be blocked. So, but other people will ask the same question. Anyone with a linguistic understanding of the situation will ask the same question. So I think it's just a situation which we should describe and then draw conclusions. My conclusion, as the conclusion of the probably the majority of the group, is it's not enough to change the situation in favor of making it allocatable. But it's a relevant point. That's what I'm trying to say. Right.
Thank you. Any other comments, observations? Going to the chat. Hassan points posed a question: what if the TLD, with SS, which is a CCTLD for South Sudan, already registered, and the same register wants to register the same with Sharpest? Well, this I would offer Hassem and others, this is a very special case. I mean, if we make it the binary relationship allocatable, then they will be entitled to that label. But since this is a single code point, it sits in a corner in a special case, right? Today, single character TLDs are prohibited. There are conversations in the subsequent procedures PDP to allow certain single character TLDs, but that's still up for discussion. So going to the I see Hassem. Go ahead, Hassem.
I mean, if a label is in a subnet already, because IBM, if the same registry wants to register the product, we may, what should be decided to drop it, same registry cannot be. I think
that's what it is. Hassem, sorry, but you are breaking up very badly. Can you try maybe changing microphones or something different? I'm not the only one. The others couldn't hear you well. All right. I think Hassem, if you had to say something, please do so on the mailing list. It's 1 minute to the top of the hour. We made some progress here, but I don't think we will find resolution next week. Mirjana, over to you.
Yeah, we are close to the end of our today call. Is there anything beside this discussion which should be mentioned before I end today's call? Anything?
This is Sarmad. Can I make a quick...
Yes, please, Sarmad. Go on.
So I guess this is more administrative in nature. We're going into a ICANN meeting, and Pitinan probably already shared with you that we are setting up a session for Latin GP to present their progress to the community. We were hoping that we'll get a draft from Latin GP, which IP can review, and based on that, we can hopefully have some good discussion around that at the ICANN meeting. So I just wanted to ask also for the benefit of IP, if you all are maybe aiming for a certain timeline for at least a version, if not the version of the proposal to be sent across. And if not, may I request all of you to maybe target a particular date and then close whatever you can close on that date and send that across to IP for review. So that we can have at least some substantial discussion at Montreal. Thank you.
Sarmad, have you any idea what will be the suitable date to send, the farthest date to send our new version of the report to the...
I would like to give IP at least 3 weeks, but no shorter than 2 weeks.
So
I think 10th October would be a good deadline if you can take that on. Thank you.
Yeah, I want you all to think about this, and we could try to make this effort. We have at least, that's 1 month, to produce a next version of the report. It is not necessary to be the final proposal of the report, but at least to encompass everything we have done up to now. And if something is missing still in the report, we could add it later. Okay, please think about it, and we should try to find a way to put all the stuff we have done up to now in the report. We could have a topic about it during one of our next calls. So that's all for today. Thank you all for being present, for taking part in this discussion. And I hope you will have spend the rest of the day well, and hear you next week, same time. So I'm closing the meeting, and bye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye all.